Ladies and gentlemen, the sports leader welcomes you to Murph and Max Power Hour.
Power!
That is all power.
It's no commercials, no BS, no f***ing around. Starting with Mike Ruco.
A bit.
Followed by today's top six hop six.
Six, six, six.
Top six sports stories. And capped off with a cooler of content.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It's exactly what you want and everything you need. So grab your coffee.
Who wants coffee?
Pound your juice.
This is some good juice.
Because Murph and Max Power Hour begins.
Fight, fight, fight the power.
Now.
Woo-hoo!
To all of those who don the orange and black.
A bit.
What Jerry Garcia is to deadheads.
The deadhead is that person, wherever they turn up in society, that's looking for an adventure in America. You know, something to do that's not like what everybody else does.
This man is to Giants baseball.
Good morning, good afternoon, and sit your butt down.
The San Francisco legend, Mike Ruco.
Hey, welcome back, Mike.
Joins Murph and Max.
Save it for the morning show.
Now. Sponsored by your Northern California Honda dealers at NorCalHondaDealers.com. On KNBR 104.5 at 6.8, the sports leader.
Woo-hoo! What a night at the yard. Playoff atmosphere out there. Electricity all up and down King Street. Giants. Big night out there for the Black and Orange. They take game one behind a real nice effort, starting effort from Logan Webb, which is exactly where I want to begin with Mike Ruco this morning. Mike, good morning. What a night out there at the yard. And as I just said, yeah, I would like to open with a little bit of Logan Webb discussion because, Mike, I don't know, I'm watching this game at home last night, and it just felt to me like he was radiating, I won't say a swagger, but there was a confidence, there was an attitude I felt coming off of Logan Webb last night. And I don't know, just wondering, did that translate? Did you see the same thing I did, like that attitude of Logan Webb last night?
Well, I absolutely did, and I think that more importantly, his teammates did. You get into a game like last night with so much riding on it, considering what happened in Los Angeles the last two times, or the last time that these two teams met. Right now, the Dodgers are concerned. Coming into this series, this was a little bit bigger than the last one because of what happened in the last one. And when you take on an incumbent team, you know, there's a lot of pride over there. There's a lot of fight. There's a lot of concentration that, you know, it's completely unified within the dugout. Everybody's on the same page. And then when you take a white knight and you lead them out there with an attitude like, I'm not losing.
Right.
I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to be the difference maker. And that's the confidence that he exuded last night. And everybody on that field picked it up. And that's the most significant thing because it relaxes everybody behind you.
Yeah.
And if you read the accounts of last night's game and in the different articles that have been written about it, everybody refers to the calm that this team had.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you get from your starting pitcher.
So
that's what you get. That's the one thing that you want from your starting pitcher, and that's what he gave him last night.
He sure did, Mike. He went six innings, only allowed three hits, one earned run, only one walk, five Ks. Real nice night, as we've been talking about. And if you could, Mike, I mean, what have you seen that's different about Logan Webb at this point in the season from what we saw earlier? I mean, there's a lot of talk about his pace, the way he, the rhythm he has up there on the mound. Is that as big a factor in his success as anything else at this point, the pace in which he works?
Well, it just is an example of how he's matured. I mean, first of all, command is what's the big difference. I mean, he's got a command of all of his pitches. And, you know, when he's right, he's got two really good strikeout pitches, and that's the slider and the split. But then he has a sinker that gets a lot of cheap outs, a lot of, you know, quick outs, because it gets ground balls. And now that he's starting to mature, he's starting to be able to recognize that there is a rhythm within an inning and that he is starting to be able to control that rhythm within the inning. And that comes with experience. And every time he goes out there, he's getting another layer of confidence. And it was referred to in this morning's article by Buster Posey. He said, this guy's taking charge of the meetings now. And, you know, you start to see him grow within the clubhouse and on the field.
Nice.
And tempo and pace has everything to do with it. That's one thing that is very difficult because once you start to have an inning go against you, it's real easy to forget the importance of pace, the importance of rhythm, because you're thinking about, I want to get this over. I want to see how it's all going to turn out. And you start to roll, you start to quicken, and you start to play your tempo right into the rhythm of the hitter. And that's when things go badly against you. So, you know, for him to be able to slow things down, to be able to be in control, you know, I'll never forget when I was a rookie, Herman Franks was my manager, who was a great Giant. But he was a Cubs manager and brought me into the big leagues. He came out in the middle of a game one time, and, you know, it was starting to go against me. And he came out, he looked right in the eye, walked up. He said, look, you have to be that traffic cop on Michigan Avenue at rush hour. You have to be able to control everything out there because you're the guy. So he says, control it. Yeah. Be the cop. And he turned around and walked back to the dugout. But I never forgot it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Logan Webb is doing right now. I mean, he's that cop right there on Market Street in the middle of rush hour.
Nice.
And he's been fun to watch. I mean, he's becoming a guy. He's becoming a reliable guy, as you mentioned, and taking control of at-bats, it seems like, and controlling the tempo and getting the ball right back from Buster and throwing it. I'm glad you brought up Herman Franks walking out and talking to you on the mound, because I was thinking about this last night when Gabe Kapler walked to the hill, was in the eighth inning, to talk to Tyler Rogers, and Buster comes in, and they all have a discussion, and he didn't go to the bullpen. I think some people were thinking maybe he was gonna maybe make the call. He went out to have a discussion about pitching to Max Muncy. I wanted to ask, A, your thought on that moment when they decided to pitch to Muncy, and Rogers has been pretty good against lefties. I think he's got the reverse splits. I think his lefties numbers are better than his numbers against righties. But then also, the manager coming out to talk and discuss the situation rather than just deciding we're going to put a guy on. How do those conversations go on the mound, and how much give and take is there from the pitcher, the catcher, and really the infielders, and what's going on in the decision-making?
Well, it depends on the pitcher. And, you know, you're talking about a high-leverage guy who's been a great reliever here the last couple of years. And the first thing that Gabe Kapler did when he went out there is he said, I believe in you, right off the bat. You're the guy for this job here. And then he said, what do you want to do? Do you want to pitch to Muncy? Rogers said, yes, I do.
Nice.
Okay, get it done. That reminded me so much of Roger Craig. I mean, it just so much of Roger Craig. The first words out of his mouth are, I believe in you. You're the guy. This is perfect for you. You're the guy to get out of this mess. What do you want to do? And Tyler Rogers says, I want to pitch to him. End of story. Let's go. Get it done. And he did. I mean, granted, Max Muncy hit a sharp ground ball that found a glove to Darren Ruff. Ruff made a great throw home. They got the tag. And but it was just that one thing right there where everybody's listening to what that manager is going to say. And the first words out of his mouth built confidence. And not only that, he layered it with the next question, what do you want to do? And it gave Tyler Rogers the opportunity to stand tall and to stand tall in front of his teammates.
Yeah.
I want to pitch to Muncy. Okay. And then he gets it done. Are you kidding me? Put a feather in your cap.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's a cool moment, man.
Yeah,
really, I always love when the manager comes out and doesn't go to the pen.
Me too.
I like those moments because we don't know as fans what we're watching, what the conversation is that's being had. Is he demanding he do something? But you laid it out perfectly there, Mike, to give the confidence and then to put it in Tyler Rogers' hands to say, I'm going to get this guy. And now he's emboldened for whatever happens tonight, whatever happens tomorrow, maybe when they play the Dodgers in a month or so, he's emboldened for that as well. And I think it's exciting. It also is pretty good when you got Buster Posey behind the plate, putting the fingers down. And it brings my next question up. When are we going to start seeing Buster every day, you think? We're into the second half now. He was in the two-hole yesterday, worked a fantastic at-bat. The fans were excited about it after Austin Slater stretched the double. Drives in the run. We love having him back there. Kirk Casale's been coming around, though, pretty well, I think, over the last couple of weeks. When do you think they'll make the decision? Is it late August? Is it early September? When do we start putting together more than three games in a row for Buster?
Playoffs.
Wow.
You're not going to see him the rest of the year in the regular season where he breaks away from the program. You know, he's getting days off. I mean, he's not going to first base. That's not a day off.
No.
Taking him out of the squad, putting him in first base. That hasn't happened this year at all.
Yeah.
They're going to give him his days. He needs his days, and they need to keep him fresh. I mean, he had so many great at-bats last night, but there's one swing, and it's really difficult because you know, and you're geared for fastball and high velocity fastball. When a guy hangs you a breaking ball, it's hard to get both your legs under it. You know, you may swing at it, but you're not going to maximize your velocity of your swing a lot of times because the pitch is just so much slower. It happened last night on a curveball from Trinan, who has unbelievable stuff. And he threw it high. It was a hanger. But the swing that Posey had, it was unbelievable. It was just, it was quick. It was fast. It was like, oh, man, you got away with one there. Because you could have done some damage. You know, it wasn't going to hit a lazy fly ball because you took his legs out because of the off-speed pitch. You can't do that for a guy whose legs are tired. And for a guy who's had a history of you know, hip problems and whatnot, you got to protect that guy. I mean, he's the centerpiece in that lineup. I mean, he's always going to be the centerpiece in that lineup. And they have to keep him fresh. And it's very difficult to do. When you start to go down the stretch to say, well, this is a big game. Well, yeah, they all are. Like Kipe says, tonight's the biggest game of the year. Well, we're going to be saying that the rest of the way. But you have to continue to ride the program. And if they're going to change from it, it's going to be in the playoff format where they have a lot of off days. And you can do that with a guy. But until then, you're not going to see him do it.
You know, Mike, you mentioned earlier in our discussion today that the Dodgers at this point, you know, after last night and last week, you know, there's concern over there. And on top of that, a lot of pride as World Series champions as well. But just to go to probably the key moment of the entire game in the eighth inning where you've got traffic on the base paths. You've got a moment there where Bellinger, you know, looks towards second, looks back at third, and just sails it. Just sails this thing over the third baseman's head. Run comes in. Giants take the lead. You know, I wonder if you could just, what do you see in that moment, Mike? Is that just the pressure of the moment? Is it the traffic on the base paths, a combination, just a little too chaotic? Like, what's behind him making that kind of critical error at that moment?
Well, first of all, he's got one of the best arms in baseball. And secondly, that's the first time he's played at first base, I think, this year. He's been in the outfield.
Okay.
You know, he's out there with a tender hamstring. They don't want it. They want to minimize his running, which he would have a lot of in the center field, so they put him back in the infield. And, you know, there was a play there with runners at first and second that nobody out. He catches the ball at first base. He throws it to second base where Muncy is. Or actually, the ground ball goes to Muncy. Muncy catches the ball. And then you have Yastrzemski from first base, the runner at first base. He's running towards second.
Right.
He stops, and he runs back to first base. That forces the throw. A lot of guys would just keep running into a tag where Muncy touches the runner and flips the first double play. But Yastrzemski backed off, and he goes back towards first base.
Yeah.
And then Muncy has to throw the ball to Bellinger. Now, Bellinger's got an out right in front of him with Yastrzemski. All he's got to do is throw the ball back to Muncy or whoever, and they got the out. Buster's not going to go anywhere at third base with his speed. But in the corner of his eye, Bellinger, once he gets the ball at first base, sees that there's an opening at third. Why he threw it, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because if they get the second out there with Yastrzemski, it's a runner at third with two outs. Big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal if there's one out, but not with two. He sees an opening, and he throws to third base, and he just airmailed the throw. And the only thing that Bellinger could say is it slipped out of my hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, what else are you going to do? It's a physical error. It's just an unfortunate error if you're Dave Roberts, but it's like it's unbelievable break for the Giants. And they get the go-ahead run, and not only that, but they have the bullpen come in and capitalize on it, game over. It was unbelievable. It shocked everybody. We haven't seen a ball like that thrown. He overthrew Justin Turner by 25 feet.
Yeah.
It was almost comical.
No, it was crazy. It was hard to compute it. It happened so fast. It was like, what? Wait, what just happened? It was. And you're right, Mike. The ball was so uncatchable. It was crazy.
We were joking earlier, and Mike, I know this is his batting average is low. We were saying the batting average might match the section that the ball would have flown into if if there was no netting there. We were sort of joking that it's the first time, I guess, we've seen a ball thrown like that where the netting has gone
all the way
up the baseline,
yeah,
right, where it didn't fly into the stands, right?
Right.
Mike?
Oh, yeah, he hits the vendor selling hot dogs up at the club level. Justin doesn't have a net there.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. So we've been looking, and last night it started let me take it back one sec here. You were talking about Bellinger's arm being so great. Austin Slater has made a couple of incredible throws from the outfield.
Yeah,
he saved, gotten out on a ball that was being stretched there. A hitter was trying to stretch a single into a double. I can't remember who drove in Bellinger after Bellinger got the base hit, moved over on the ground ball, and then Slater throws a guy out going to second base. Was it McKinney?
He's
trying to stretch
it
to second. Slater's displayed an incredible arm in center field, I feel like, this year.
Well, I mean, he's got his arm back. I mean, if you remember, you know, he used to have the best arm in the outfield anytime he played out there. But then he had that elbow injury. It took him a long time to be able to get his arm back. And when we saw him at spring training, his arm was probably 65-70% of what it normally is. So, and you don't even know if it's going to come back, but it has. I mean, a lot of time, a lot of stretching, a lot of therapy, and last night, one thing that this Giants outfield does so beautifully is they turn doubles into singles because of how they cut off gaps, how they cut off balls that go towards the line. It's just been one of their strengths as a defense all year long. And Billy McKinney he runs well. And off the crack of the bat, he sees, okay, RBI, we're ahead. I'm going to put myself in scoring position. And he was thinking double just from where it was in the outfield. And here comes Austin Slater, cuts it off, turns around and throws a one-hop strike right to Tyro Estrada, puts on the tag. And it wasn't even close. I mean, he was out by, 2 feet. But it was just a remarkable play, and it's a significant play because if you knock a runner in there with one out, you just basically exchange places, put yourself at second, he scores. That's the gateway to a big inning.
Yeah.
And by that throw, all of a sudden, boom, the momentum was squelched. They get out of the inning. The damage is one run, and as it turned out, I mean, their offense overcame the one run, but that was such a huge play.
Yep.
And the fact that, he was able to make it and his arm looked great. Still, I still think he's got a little more in there. But the fact that everything was perfect, it had to be perfect, and that he was able to complete that play was a beautiful thing and a huge part of that game.
Yeah, real nice moment, Mike. And the crowd reacted accordingly. Great crowd reaction. Really electric crowd last night, Mike. It really translated over the broadcast. Wanted to also just check in or see if you have anything on Lamont Wade. To watch him do this again, man, like, I think it was in the eighth inning, Lamont Wade's in the box. He fouls one off his knee. He goes down. I mean, it looked really painful. And then you guys put the highlight up from last week. He did the same thing in Dodger Stadium. So twice in 2 weeks, Mike, on the same leg. I mean, he's going to have some serious – I mean, I don't know. How do you think he's going to be feeling today?
Well, in the last week, three times. And the one he hit himself in Los Angeles was on the shin bone. And the one last night that he hit the very first – pitch in the at bat, or the very first time he swung, he hit in the exact same spot in the shin bone.
Man.
Now, if you get a hit in the shin, and you're walking soft for a week because that pain, it just doesn't go away. And then when you light it up again, the exact same spot, you want to quit the game. You want to go out for soccer because you just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And in the same at bat last night, he hits the same leg. Now, it was about 4 inches above where he hit the first one, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just you ignite another set of another spot of pain there in your leg. It's it's so hard to even continue. He came out of the game after that at bat. He struck out swinging, and he's day to day. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, he's going to be limping into the game tonight. I mean, they need him tonight too because they've got Buehler going. They need his left-handed at bat, but
right.
I don't know if he's going to be ready to go. That's how big that was last night, and that possibly could put him on the IL.
Wow. Okay. I hope not, but I hear you. Yeah, it looked painful. It really did.
I mean, that's what you really don't want to see happen. Those are scary moments. And he's been so hot. He's been so good, Mike. We don't want to see him miss time. One more thought for you here on the way out. Walker Buehler goes tonight for the Dodgers. He's been unbelievable. He sort of has that Clayton Kershaw thing going now, where he pitches every time the Giants see the Dodgers. Haven't seen Kershaw in some time, and I know he's been on the IL. But Walker Buehler, 10 wins this year, a 2.31 ERA. This is his fifth start against the Giants. I can't remember a guy making this many starts against the Giants in one season, and it might not be the last time. He could pitch against them again, I guess, later this year. So what do you think of this? And can you recall a time a guy has faced the Giants five times? Did Kershaw ever do that?
Oh, yeah. We never saw the Giants miss Kershaw, ever. And now he's been replaced by Buehler. And I think Buehler is one of the best five pitchers in the game. And I say that because if you think back what he did earlier in the year when they were still using the spider tack and they were getting the high velocity spin rate, he came at him in one game where he kind of lost command of his off speed stuff and his cutter. And then he just said, the heck with it, I'm going to ride the fastball. And they all knew it was coming. They couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't even foul it off. And I mean, that was such a dominant performance. Now it was enhanced by the spider tack. Yes. Well, after the rules changed and spider tack was ousted, they saw him the next time and he was a completely different pitcher. I mean, he carved up the corners with X's, with backdoor sink and cutters, and then his curveball and changeup were fantastic. And his location with everything was fantastic, and he just carved him up again. So I think this is a guy who right now has their number. They've never beaten him. And this tonight is such a significant game for that reason. If they could slap an L on him, light him up, go out there and just put a loss on him, I mean, you talk about putting an extra bounce in her step. Because, I mean, right now the Dodgers are thinking this is win night. We even the series because we have our guy.
Right.
We have our Buehler going. And it's really going to be an incredible game because DeSclafani, his last time out against the Dodgers, I thought it's the best he ever pitched against the Dodgers. This is a team that he hasn't had great success with. But he kind of got that monkey off his back in his last outing in L.A. He pitched beautifully.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to this game for that reason.
Well, Mike, listen, man, it is awfully fun to be a Giants fan right now. We're really gassed for tonight. Can't wait for game two. And hopefully they do exactly as you said. Take it right to Buehler. Let's hang an L on him, and then we'll do it again in game three tomorrow. Mike, great conversation today. We'll circle back and talk to you on Friday.
In a bit.
That's Mike Kruko. Everybody catch him Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Murph and Mac, Murph and Cope, Mac and Cope, whatever the combination thereof.
Mac and cheese.
Someone will be talking
to
Mike. I can guarantee it. Hey, Power Hour just getting started. We're going to do our top six. We got a lot of cooler content stuff to get into. I haven't even heard about Nikki today. I would imagine there's got to be some updated Nikki tutorial because I just need some for my head. I got Farhan in Train Town. There's a lot. You heard me, Farhan in Train Town. I've asked freelance artists to get on this Thomas the Tank Engine with Farhan's face if we could. To kind of illustrate the Farhan crazy train. Let's bring that thing to life. A lot going on is my point. Top six next. Copes, Mac, KMBR 680, the sports leader.
You're listening to Murph and Mac's Power Hour. Now on 104.5 FM and 680. This is KNBR, the sports leader. Mike Kruko with Murph and Mac has been sponsored by your Northern California Honda dealers at NorCalHondaDealers.com. The Murph and Mac Power Hour surges on. Feel the power. Next on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.